Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. And my very special guest, Joy Camp. And what were we talking about over the break? I thought it was really important.
I was telling you how I would have been, based on the standards of ADD diagnosis these days, I definitely would have been diagnosed with ADD as a student if I was a kid now. Because it's that I was terrible at paying attention in class. I was the worst. I would drift off every day, and I definitely would have been assigned the title of ADD as a child. Thankfully.
You know, it's really ironic, isn't it? We're teaching these kids this really boring stuff that doesn't make any sense, and they drift off. So obviously, that's the kids that have got the problem, not us that are the idiots for teaching them stuff that doesn't make any sense and is really boring.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and the parents are taught to look for problems in their kids. They're taught to look for these symptoms, these signs of disorder. And that's, I mean, it's astonishing. It's scary. It's really scary to see.
Isn't that interesting how in the process to correct disorders, they're creating chaos?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And they're putting them on medication. They're giving them pills that alter their chemical makeup. I mean, it's so terrifying. I mean, it's out of this world. It's unbelievable that it's happening. But it's on purpose, obviously. They're trying to stifle the generation behind us before they even get started.
Yeah, and they have no choice, you know. They go to these their kids. They have no say in the matter. They just follow what their parents do, and their parents follow what they're told to do. So they're just stuck, and that's why it makes it that much harder for them to break out of this spell. And that's why I think you go through, to go back to the beginning of our show, this phase of frustration and anger and it's scary and all that, because you've had a lifetime stacked on top of you year after year of being conditioned by this BS. And you have to break out of that. You know, as soon as you're awake, you break out of that. And that's why you go through these crazy, this tornado. You know, you get swooped up by a tornado and spit out on a different end.
You know, and to piggyback on that, on a different note with children, okay, when I was a kid, I used to watch MTV a lot. I was a big MTV fan. I'd watch everything that came on MTV. And you watch popular music now and MTV now, it's so riddled with symbolism and subliminal messages. I feel like they're laying it on right. So thick. I mean, granted, looking back on the MTV that I would watch as a kid, you can see it, but it's more subtle. It's like they don't even care anymore. They're not even trying because they know they can get away with it. They're affecting these kids on a vibrational level too, and subconsciously. And it's in your face. And we can watch, let's say, a Rihanna or a Jay-Z music video and be like, oh yeah, there's Illuminati symbolism. But the kids don't realize that. And that's the target. So they don't care if we see it, but the kids are getting it. They're the ones who are receiving all this information subliminally. And it's scary to see because that was not like that when we were kids.
Mm. And there was another point that you made that I found very interesting, Benny, is that you're an art teacher and you don't even have a proper classroom. You just go, you're going to whatever thing, and it's an elective as well. And I recall a movie called Mr. Holland's Opus, and there was a conversation between Mr. Holland and the principal, and the principal was saying, oh, we need to cut the music budget because when it comes to a choice between reading, writing, and arithmetic, I'll choose the reading, writing, and arithmetic over the art. And Mr. Holland says words to the effect, you know what, you can do that all you want, but eventually the kids won't have anything to read or write about.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the sad thing about my situation or the arts education in my school is that they're lucky that they actually have arts. I mean, most schools don't even have it as an elective, and they actually get it. Granted, they don't have a classroom, which is completely backwards, but at least they have it. And it's sad that we even have to say it like that. I mean, it should be, and I feel like it was more of a requirement when I was a kid. I remember I took a band class and I took a singing class, and this was a part of my public schooling, and now it's an elective. Now you're lucky if you get arts in your education as a kid.
So it's interesting, you know, you pull back a little further from that and you ask the question, well, what does that all mean? Why is it that kids are programmed with meaningless and irrelevant facts and lies made up of history and science and math, et cetera. And yet art, you know, like Benny said, it's lucky if they can even have that as an elective. And if they do, they don't even have a classroom to where they can express their art in it. So it makes you wonder why is art so for lack of a better word, forbidden in public schooling systems. These are the systems created by these powers that be, and they don't want kids learning art. So what does it tell you about them and their fear of art? It shows, and it's proof of how powerful art is. Art, when someone is artistic and creative and they're good at it, and they employ some type of truth within their art, don't you just immediately gain respect for that person? When you see somebody conveying truth and getting people to think while being creative at the same time, you know, I get a little drool down the side of my mouth and I see that. I think, wow, this guy is cool. I want to know who this guy is. So it's proof right there, proof in the pudding, you know, that art is a really, really powerful tool. And if they're not teaching it at public schools, then these kids need to be doing it outside of the public schools.
I would take one step further and refer to it as creativity and not just art, just creativity in general. It's creativity that they're stifling.
Yeah. It's not just painting a picture and writing a song. It's everything combined. Whatever you personally are talented at and have the passion and drive to do, it's all art and it's all creativity and it's all positive. So if you're a truth seeker and you are also creative, the day you decide to combine those two efforts into one is going to change your life forever.
And might change everybody else's at the same time. And yeah. And what's interesting is, as you were saying that, I recall the psychopath roundtable that we had with Thomas Sheridan, Jay Widener, and James Corbett. We had those three amazing guests all at the same time. And one of the things Thomas Sheridan said, we were talking about careers that psychopaths are likely to be in, and it's power and control structures, you know, like police, lawyers, doctors, politicians, media moguls, that kind of thing. Oh, my God, I'm a media mogul. And they also had a list of places where they're not likely to be, where almost none of them are. Artists and childhood teachers, right? Yep. And then all of a sudden, all the agenda that gets laid bare. No wonder they ain't teaching frickin' art in schools, eh? You know, yep. They don't want all of these kids who aren't psychopaths or psychopaths in waiting to have any experience of something that'll prevent them from becoming scumbags. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yep.
Yeah,
it's just a theory of mine.
They don't want us thinking for ourselves. I mean, it's pretty easy to see that they don't want independent thought. They want to produce just worker bees, and that's pretty obvious. I think they.
What's hilarious? New Zealand's Parliament building is called the Beehive, and it literally looks like a beehive. And I was just thinking about this. Well, hold on a second. A beehive is controlled by one that is born to rule. And everybody else in the beehive has to obey orders. And if they ever protect themselves or even protect the system, they die as a result.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, that's a really powerful metaphor. Who built the beehive? It turns out that it was actually a high-level New Zealand Freemason. Who was having a conversation with another high-level Freemason who was incidentally the Prime Minister of New Zealand at the time. And in fact, at the time, it was extremely rare and unlikely that you would ever become the Prime Minister if you weren't a Freemason. And I was just, whoa.
the beehive is a popular symbol, too. I mean, that's a really popular symbol. It's on a lot of coat of arms and stuff. Isn't it on, like, the Mormon coat of arms or... Is these coat of arms even the right term? I know that it's a very popular symbol.
Mm. Well, in either case, what it appears like to me is that all of our control structures, like good, decent people like you and me, we don't like having control over people, do we? We actually like having our independence. We like having control over our own selves. We like contributing and giving to other people rather than telling other people what to do and forcing them into it. Yep. You know why? Because we're good, decent people. That's why we people like us very rarely go into politics. That's why we very rarely become huge, massive CEOs with inordinate quantities of power. And incidentally, that's why the entire country is, and the world itself is run by a bunch of freaking psychos. You know, It's really sad, isn't it? Because people like us don't want to run for politics and get a position of absolute power and domination where we can drone strike people with a little red button and have no apps and have no moral conscience about it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, trying to be a going to be a part of the system that way, you won't. You really can't change it. You can't change. I don't think you can be a politician and, you know, change the game. You have to be outside of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, it's foolish, you know. People like, oh, there's just a few bad apples. No, you're the good apple jumping into the bad barrel, son.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They're cooking you up, man, and that's what happens. And that was something that also really intrigued me about the psychopath roundtable that we had, was that it's actually an infection. You can actually become a psychopath if you have contact with a psychopath for long enough. If they exert enough influence on you, they can actually take all of that empathy, all of that thing that really makes you a human being, all of that heart that you have, all of that creativity, they can actually infect you and eradicate it from you and turn you into one of them.
Absolutely. Well, right now, going on right now, just north of San Francisco is the Bohemian Grove gathering where they literally cremate care. They cremate the effigy of care. They actually go through this practice, this ritual of cremating care. I mean, think about that for a second. They are abandoning themselves of dull care.
Be gone, dull care.
Yeah, they're ridding themselves of this feeling of care, this concern, empathy. I mean, they're really doing this, and they're open about it.
We just made a video about the Bohemian Grove that we released a couple of days ago. If anyone would like to go check that out, we have our little own spin on that.
You know, I do have a TV on the back here. We could play it on air. We'll do that next segment. How long is it?
A minute
and a half, or a minute 15 seconds even.
Oh, okay. Well, in the meantime, in that case, we could probably play it this segment, and I'll just try and chuck it up. If you just chuck me the link through the Skype here, I can chuck it up on the TV behind us and play it for the listening audience, huh? That'd be nice. And yeah. Also, the other thing that I wanted to stress to people is that this system isn't just isolated to America, okay? Many people listening probably don't know that the Prime Minister of New Zealand, John Key, who used to work for the Federal Reserve and everything, I think it was a couple of years back when Bohemian Grove was going on, he took a trip to northern San Francisco right at the time that Bohemian Grove was going on. And I found that was particularly interesting. Interesting? What is the likelihood? What is the frickin' likelihood, really, that one of the leaders of a country goes to Bohemian Grove at a time that it's on and he ain't actually there to participate in the cremation of care? All right, so without further ado, that's an Israel reference. We're going to play this little video for you guys here. Let me see if I can get the settings all sorted. There we are. All right. Let's get the show under the way.
Great.
Oh, come on, baby. Don't do this to me.
A 45-foot high stone owl ready to sacrifice an effigy is Moloch, the great horned giant Babylonian pagan fire god mascot of the Bohemian Grove. Watch Moloch's annual ritualistic thrill show spectacular, The Cremation of the Mayor. Businessmen, bankers, politicians, and presidents side by side, ridding themselves of dull care. For 2 weeks in July, the elite are out to cross-dress, drink wine, and touch penises. That's right, it's Men-O-Rama. This footed rogue satanic summer camp with skulls is men only. Get down and dirty in the woods. This is gourmet food.
A barbecue. The baby barbecue. You're going to barbecue the babies.
Remember, we need spiders. Come down here.
Mr. Durgan, say hi to Moloch for me. Canaanite deity. I'll see you at Eyes Wide Shut, baby.
Located at 20601 Bohemian Avenue, just up the 12 freeway in Monte Rio. Exactly 75.2 miles north of San Francisco. Turn right on Fulton, left on Occidental, right at Green Hill, another left at Brighton, right at Bohemian Highway, and one more right at Bohemian Avenue into there. Brought to you by MK Ultra. Be control. Be Ultra.
That's brilliant, guys. That's freaking funny.
Thanks, man.
That, you know, that one, that is not a funny subject, the Bohemian Grove. That is not, oh, sorry, we got a helicopter flying overhead here. Not totally uncommon in Los Angeles.
No. It's totally because of the Bohemian Grove video, you know. The New World Order is like listening into the Vinnie Eastwood show, and they go, oh my God, these guys are playing a video about my God, Moloch, let's fly something over their head and think about it.
That's a really dark subject. You know, I'm sitting here, you know, we're working on this thing and editing it and watching just videos and reading. And if it's true and what's really going on there, if they are really, let's say, sacrificing a real human being there. And there is that famous video
plenty of rumors.
It does sound like someone is screaming in the video. And, you know, there's really no way to prove it outside of the video. But nonetheless, if it is true, it's a very dark, creepy subject. The fact that these old white rich men who obtain some degree of power and wealth in this world are gathering together, no women, stay-at-home ladies, and, you know, they're deciding the fate of other humans throughout the world while they're playing their little games up there is a very creepy subject.
And literally cremating care. I mean, regardless of the rumors, like, they're really doing that.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere.